Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go. 'Cause when I look to the sky, something tells me you're here with me. And you make everything all.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by Starseed Gems, and they can be found at www.starseedgems.com. Tonight's guests are Tom and Lisa Butler from the Association Transcommunication, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guests, the toll-free number is 888-627-6008. And how are you this fine evening, Bob?
I'm pretty good. And yourself?
Excellent. Excellent, excellent.
So we have another survey up on the load page of the website.
Yeah, loads of fun.
People like them. They're informative. It's one question, so it only takes you a second. And this month's question, I don't know it verbatim, but
I'll get it for you verbatim in just a second.
The question was, how do you think you would react if while you were awake, a deceased loved one appeared before you? And we give a variety of different answers, and it's always fun for me because I always try to anticipate what the percentages will be, and I'm just about always surprised, at the answers. They're not always what you think they'll be.
You're pretty good. If you saw a deceased loved one appear to you while you were awake, how do you think that you would react?
All right. Well, might as well read me off the choices.
All right. Your choices are, 1, I don't think that I would believe what I was seeing. 2, I would probably be frightened and not try to communicate. 3, I would probably be quiet and observe. 4, I would be overjoyed and try to interact. And 5, it's not possible for the dead to appear in the physical.
Right. I know what my answer would be, but I'm not going to say.
Don't influence the listeners. Just go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org, and immediately on the load page is a big white box with the question and your choice of 5 answers.
And we keep them each question up for a 30-day period. And then we keep the results up there for a period of time until we do the next one. I was looking at an article today. I forget where. I think it might have been online or AOL. And the headline was, one of the Powerball winners had premonition of his win. So, of course, that piqued my interest. And so I opened it up. And those may not know in a listening audience that there was a big Powerball jackpot. It was $425 million or something, and there were a few winners. So I opened up the article, and virtually nothing in the article talks about any premonition. There was one line where he was quoted as saying, well, he's thought about it, and he's thought about winning, many, many times. And who hasn't? Every time.
You certainly do.
We were talking about it before, what we would do with the money. And I think you even thought we had a good chance because we were going to do a lot of good with the money, right?
So yeah, we're going to have a nice, big, giant place for Forever Family.
But I just mentioned that because, psychic abilities and premonitions, they're sexy. They're good for ratings, and that's why you see such headlines, even though the content had absolutely nothing to do with it. So it's interesting how, and that's why you see so many movies and so many different TV shows that focus around this. It's all about ratings. But when it comes right down to it, the people that write these headlines, when you talk to them personally, most of them don't care or don't want to believe in any of this stuff. Don't you find that?
Not only do I find that, but because those same people who don't care and don't believe in it are the ones that are writing either the program or the description of the program or anything associated to the program, they get it wrong. They just totally get it wrong. Right. And then you turn it over to Hollywood, and they totally screw up reality and then have the nerve to frame those things as quote-unquote reality shows.
Yeah, that ties in. I saw just before we went online that you had posted an article that Lloyd Auerbach had written for his website.
I think it's on his blog.
Yeah, on his blog. I think it's also, on his website, is the mindreader.com. And the focus of his blog was that it sticks in his craw, when people come up to him. And, of course, Lloyd has a huge history in parapsychology and very well-educated and very knowledgeable. And people say to him, well, you couldn't possibly be an expert because you're not on TV.
Right. Isn't that amazing?
You don't have a TV series. If you were really an expert, you'd be on TV. Kind of absurd. The reality is, as he points out, he's been on TV more than 100 times, but, he doesn't want to do a series. Of course, he would welcome, a series, but playing by his own rules, he's not going to do phony things, and he's not going to...
As most of the scientists who are doing this work agree, and they all do the same thing. Once approached by Hollywood or a producer or somebody wants to do a documentary, they will always include in the contractual work that if it deviates from reality, they're out of there. And that's why, as Lloyd said, there is no TV show. However, you'll notice that when they're looking for somebody with his expertise, they call upon him. He's been on The View. He's been on the important shows where they're interviewing him because they need his expert opinion.
Right. And he's more than willing to do that, and he does an excellent job. But, the point is that on a lot of these so-called ghost hunting shows, a lot of the phenomena is faked, or set up.
Or edited.
Edited, and the equipment is portrayed as, detecting certain things, when in reality it couldn't possibly do that. And it's just, for the true, legitimate investigators out there, and there are, some very, very good ones, must drive them crazy, when they see these things.
I'm sure that it does. Yeah. How could it not?
Isn't it funny, though, how people, you become an instant, credible authority if you're on TV. People just, if it's on TV, it must be true.
You also become a credible critic if you watch TV. And I say the same thing, shut off those TV sets.
Oh, there's some good things on TV.
Yeah, but how do you find them? You don't know what to believe or what not to believe anymore.
Is it any different than the newspapers?
No. Throw out the newspaper. Shut off the radio.
Well, how are we going to keep informed? Telepathically?
That's one way, yeah. What are our guides for? What are our guides for and the people on the other side that want to help us?
Yeah. Well,
talk to them. They'll give you the truth.
Yeah. Well, as I say that, how are we going to be informed? Sometimes it's more brainwashing than informed. The information that we get.
Propaganda.
But I, people will more readily trust somebody that's on an actor on a popular TV show than they would a university professor or a scientist that's been in the field for 40 years. That's just the way things work. We like to make celebrities out of our TV figures, and we build them up, and then when the media decides to turn the other way, they'll take them down as fast as they built them up. So it's pretty interesting. So I congratulate Lloyd on that article, and if people want to read it, you can go on mindreader.com. We're going to go to our break, because we have two wonderful guests coming up, Tom and Lisa Butler, who are world authorities on on trans communication.
And no, they don't have their own TV show.
No, but they have consulted on some. So stay with us, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Don't miss Forever Family Foundation's 7th Annual Conference Weekend, November 9th and 10th, this year in warm and sunny San Diego, California. In Search of the Afterlife, Experiencing, Communicating, Connecting to Another World, is designed for general audiences interested in learning about evidence of an afterlife. Attendees will be treated to cutting-edge presentations of evidence that we survive our physical deaths, as well as demonstrations of spirit communication by certified mediums. Add on the optional Friday night fundraiser dinner featuring medium Kim Russo, host of The Haunting of TV show, and stay an extra day for Media Monday. For more information, visit www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Tuning in, our guests tonight are Tom and Lisa Butler. Our sponsor is Starseed Gems, and they can be found at www.starseedgems.com. Bob?
And Tom and Lisa Butler are the directors of the Association Trans Communication, which was previously known as the American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena. ATRANS-C is a not-for-profit organization that educates the public about all forms of trans communication, which includes instrumental trans communication and electronic voice phenomena. They have an added focus to understand the greater reality by examining what the evidence suggests and the implications of that on how we live. They're authorities in trans communication, and Tom and Lisa are frequent media guests. They conduct their own research. They publish a wonderful newsletter. They maintain an extremely comprehensive website at atransc.org, and they are the authors of the book, There Is No Death and There Are No Dead. Welcome back, Tom and Lisa.
How are you guys? Great to be here.
It's great to have you back. And, you know, I mentioned in the introduction a few times transcommunication. So that's a good place to start. Let's start by explaining, you know, to listeners what you really mean by transcommunication.
Okay. Some time ago, the phrase instrumental transcommunication was coined to account for both of the EVP, which everybody pretty much knows about, and also there's visual forms of that as well. So the trans in this case was always, the transcommunication was always capitalized T and capitalized C, and the trans means across the veil. So we've carried that throughout the website, everywhere else. When we say trans, we're talking about across the veil.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. You know, you just mentioned, you know, EVP, which pretty much everybody knows about. But, you know, what I find is that, you know, when we talk about it and bring up your work, we still find that even among people that are very open to survival, that they've never heard of it, which surprises us. So, I mean, does that frustrate you both? I mean, here you are, you're doing all this wonderful work, and it's still a relatively small numbers of people really know what it is or understand it.
I think that it's a relatively new phenomena because, I mean, it's hard for us to believe, but just think about it. I mean, we didn't have tape recorders, you know, but that would be like in the 1950s. So as far as mediumship, we have all of this historic information, and electronic communication, EVP is an electronic voice phenomena, and that's somebody, you know, our friends on the other side recording a message on some sort of recording device, and so those recording devices weren't available. So I think it's a fairly new phenomena, but also, you know, everybody knows so much more about it than they did when we started this association. I don't know what it's been, 15, 16, 20 years.
Yeah, 2000 when we took over. But remember that this was basically discovered 50 years ago. And the I just noticed that the book that we credit Breakthrough that brought it to the English-speaking world was published in 1971. So that you're looking at it that way, this is still in its infancy.
And then I would think, also, I mean, when we started the association, nobody knew about it. And then the horrible horror movie White Noise came along, and it was about EVP, and it was not an honest look at EVP.
No, it had demons in it.
But it certainly got those, what, the initials out there, and everybody, you know, Universal Studios wanted everybody to know about EVP as much as people know about crop circles. So it did get out a little bit more.
Today, probably every decent-sized town in the United States has at least one or two hauntings investigation groups, and they're very active. Here in Reno, not too many years ago, we didn't have any. And then there was one, and last time I heard, one of the people that are really plugged into the community says that there's 32 of them. And this is in Reno. The Reno is a little dinky town.
Right.
Yeah, Reno probably doesn't appreciate it.
Our apologies to Reno.
But most ghost groups do have somebody that does try to record for EVP. It's become a tool in ghost investigations.
But here's a catch that I think that you can appreciate. While a lot of people are aware of EVP, and some of them even don't think it's something for entertainment only, most people think of it more in terms of ghosts talking on tape and don't make the connection that might be their long-dead Uncle John trying to say hello. So they don't necessarily relate the fact of EVP to the fact of survival of their own personality.
That's true. And I would imagine people come to you all the time, and I know that you're both very, very thorough in your investigations, and as you dissect these bits of recordings. So I would imagine people come to you and they're convinced, and they think they have this wonderful example, and frankly, sometimes you may listen to it and realize that it's not really a very good EVP, or maybe it's due to some sort of environmental anomaly. How do you handle that? Do you always feel like sort of guilty and letting people down?
We get in a lot of trouble.
But on the other hand, no, because there's classifications, and Tom can talk about this, but there are very few EVP examples that everybody are going to agree on. This is paranormal. It's not a normal voice. A spirit is having to get through from, what? I mean, we don't have any idea. We're not on their side. We're not in that energy field. So they have to get this imprinted on this device, and usually they're not easily understood. And I think after the years of listening, we're better at listening, but I don't think it's the quality of the recording that's important. It's how the person feels. And people that have heard from their child, for instance, I think, or their husband or their wife, when you hear from your loved one, it doesn't have to be something that you can take a scientist and say, here, you've got that proof. And I think it's amazing proof, because it's not somebody else telling you, your daughter saying this to you. You've actually made the communication yourself.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I know that a good deal of your focus is the effects on grief that these recordings can have. I guess, and also I appreciate when you say it's a direct experience, because it's a little bit different than a medium telling you something. There's always that doubt in your mind. But now here's a direct personal experience. But isn't it true that sometimes people actually, recognize the voice, the quality and tone of the voice as being the same as their loved one when they were in the physical?
Absolutely. And then there's the other thing. We deal with people that say, I've got these recordings, I've got this communication. It doesn't sound like my son. What do you think about that? And I mean, we're not there. We don't understand. There's so many different iterations of how this phenomena happens. In that case, we have to tell a person, okay, if you don't recognize the voice, ask the questions. What are they saying? Does it sound like them? Because in reality, it is like the telephone. You've got, you don't see the person. You've got to go on the information you get, just like with a medium.
I like to compare it to putting your ear up against the wall of an apartment complex and trying to tell what's going on in the room in your neighbor's apartment. You might hear the voice, but you don't know if it's a television playing, if it's them talking. You don't know really anything other than the mumbling words. And quite often, EVP, it's a party line. We don't know who's on it. There's people that have succeeded in getting messages that if they don't sound like their loved one, then they're words that their loved one might say. And we found that, I think my own speculation is that there's a lot of people on the other side that, while your loved one may not be able to figure out how to get through on EVP, they're going to do everything they can to help. So you have others talking about your loved one for you.
Now, a lot of people that we come across, so when we explain EVP and what it's like, their immediate reaction is, I couldn't possibly do that because I'm not technologically savvy, and I can't really afford to go out and buy expensive equipment. So can you just get into that a little bit about the actual technique of trying to get a recording?
Sure. Okay. What I like to say is it takes three. It takes you. It takes a spirit that wants to talk to you or your mom or whoever it is you're trying to get a hold of. And the third thing is the device. And in reality, that device, personally, just in my humble opinion, I don't think is that important. We recently had somebody write and said, they said they had been saving for, you know, ever to buy this expensive $200 recorder. What we have often found is the inexpensive digital recorder, not particularly any brand. I mean, people have gotten this on the computer, you know, so not even on a recorder. They're recording on something they have, you know. So you know, they don't need to buy expensive equipment. It is, I think it is important that they know how to use a...
The computer is really being able to use a computer to download your recordings into it, and they have really inexpensive or actually many free programs for the computer that help you watch the waveform and amplify it and a few things like that to help you listen to it. But all of those things, you're only new to the program once, and then you learn how to use it and become accustomed. We have people that are virtually almost unable to use email, have been able to figure out how to use the computer and do that minimum amount. And the rest of it, really, like Lisa says, I think that probably the most important thing is patience, to keep trying, experiment what works for you, and trust that it'll eventually come through.
And it can come through in so many different ways, too. For instance, one of our friends, I think this is a funny story, and there's lots of funny stories about death in reality, but her mother died, and her mother had this cat. And in her will, she said, "You are not getting rid of this cat, and you are not getting rid of this house until my cat dies." So she actually lives somewhere else, has a neighbor watching the house. The house is for the cat. And she never turned off the phone. So the phone is still there in the house. And this has been going on now for about 2 years. And what she found, when she gets calls on the house phone, it goes to the answering machine, right? And these are a lot of times sales calls. And in the period of time on the answering machine before that sales call, she gets EVP from her mother.
Yeah,
so you just never know.
No. And how about the, you know, in the broader term of instrumental transcommunication, just tell us about that process where spirit seems to be able to carve an image out of you know, this so-called white noise. So it's not only recording sound, but it's also visual things, right?
Yes, I think that this is one of the encouraging parts about studying this, is that we find that basically the same processes appear to be involved in visual forms of these phenomena, the forming of the faces in noise, and audio forms for the voices formed in noise. And basically, any medium density, meaning not too dark, not too light, any medium density noise, visual noise, is liable to have faces in it when you photograph it. And it's what we think we call a transform. And it's not there when you're looking at it, let's say, for instance, looking at the television set, but when you examine the photograph of that, then sometimes you find a face there.
And I think the two easiest things for people to do, again, which is maybe not so technical, a lot of people now are using water. So you put some water in a... one person uses a glass bowl in a, like a plexiglass, you know, bowl, in something else like something shiny, like a stainless steel bowl. And you videotape the water moving. So you move the water with your finger as you videotape it, keeping your finger out of the video. And so that moving water So, I mean, you could probably go photograph a river running or any kind of, but anyway, moving water, people are finding faces in that moving water, sometimes faces they recognize. Another thing people are doing is photographing crystals, the inside of crystals, really close-up photos of crystals, and they're finding faces in that. And those are two things. We've done experiments with what we call feedback with the TV, but that's a lot more technical. So the water and the crystals are things that people have around.
Interesting.
We have a caller, if you'd like to take a call.
Sure.
Okay, we have Sharon from New York. She's on line two.
Hello, Sharon.
Yes, hi.
Hello, Sharon.
How are you?
Hi.
We're great.
Did you have a question for Tom and Lisa?
No, I actually have an experience. I think I was I've told you guys about this experience before when I lived in Florida. I just moved back to New York, but anyhow, in 2005, I actually we had hurricanes in Florida, and around the time in between my birthday and Mother's Day, actually on Mother's Day of that year, my husband sits me down. And he told me that a couple of weeks prior to that, my mom had actually called on the telephone. And I was in shock because she had passed away 2 years, you know, prior to that. You know, she passed away in 2003. And there was nothing on caller ID. I mean, he tried every which way to explain it. But it was absolutely 1,000,000% her voice. He didn't know how to tell me. I mean, it took him about a couple of weeks to just to figure out how to tell me. But anyhow, all she said was, oh my goodness, which I don't know if she was thinking like, oh my goodness, I actually got through, or oh my goodness. And I, you know, I guess the fact that he told me on Mother's Day to me was just like an indicative of, like, you know, happy Mother's Day, I'm still your mom, you're still my daughter, we're
right.
Still connected, you know, and that's the way I think it was orchestrated to be. But I just wanted to share that with you guys.
Yeah, well, thank you. Tom and Lisa, I would imagine you've heard about phone calls from the dead before.
Yes, but I'm jealous, Sharon. This is something that I want. I'm not going until I get my phone call from somebody that's over there. It's, it is not that
you know,
common.
I did research for 4 years just trying to figure out how this could be done. I mean, I contacted Mark Macy, who is big with the trans. I just didn't believe, I mean, my husband was in a state of shock. I mean, this man, he didn't even know how to tell me. You know, he couldn't, you know, I thought he was going to tell me he was divorcing me or he had a rare disease the way he sat me down, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, my mom and I were very connected. My mom was also believed in an afterlife, and we were very, very connected. And I guess she just wanted to somehow show me. I mean, this was the burning bush of, I've gotten communication from her, but this was like the burning bush of communication, really.
Right.
I don't know why she picked my husband to, you know, call, and it wasn't me. but I guess
well,
maybe I wouldn't have believed it if she did, or else I would have fainted. I don't really know. I don't know.
Well, Sharon,
but it was quite an experience, but I just, again, wanted to share that with you guys.
Thank you so much, Sharon.
Understand how that could happen.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing, and we'll talk to you soon. Tom, when people get EVPs, they seem to be very, very short, right? I mean, what would be the explanation why you don't get any of these long? Is it just the degree of difficulty you imagine, or because they're usually three or four words, right?
Yeah, I think that is the difficulty. The different forms of transcommunication, you know, the direct voice, you can hear recordings, so it just goes on and on and on. They're very much able to get through. Some of the work Annabella Cardosa and Bocci both using direct voice radio, they get long messages. It's just a different technology, and I think part of it, too, is that it really is energy limited and getting a few words through. Because we notice that the last couple syllables are often garbled, meaning that it's like they're running out of energy.
Mm. The other thing that I wanted to get into, and maybe we should delve into that after the break, I wanted to talk a little bit about your website mentions that, you know, you like to study these phenomena from the perspective of the survived personality, which is a little bit, you know, different twist. So if you could just hold that thought till after the break, and then
okay.
I could talk about that a little bit. So we're going to go to a short break, and we'll be back with Tom and Lisa Butler. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few.
Don't miss Forever Family Foundation's 7th Annual Conference Weekend, November 9th and 10th, this year in warm and sunny San Diego, California. In Search of the Afterlife, Experiencing, Communicating, Connecting to Another World, is designed for general audiences interested in learning about evidence of an afterlife. Attendees will be treated to cutting-edge presentations of evidence that we survive our physical deaths, as well as demonstrations of spirit communication by certified mediums. Add on the optional Friday night fundraiser dinner featuring medium Kim Russo, host of The Haunting of TV show, and stay an extra day for Media Monday. For more information, visit www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770. Victor and Wendy Zammit, researchers of the afterlife for over 30 years, have released their new book, A Lawyer Presents the Evidence for the Afterlife, What Really Happens When We Die. It has received rave reviews and is a comprehensive look at all of the evidence, including physical mediumship, near-death experiences, deathbed visions, after-death contacts, reincarnation, and a host of other phenomena that will prove that we are much more than our physical bodies. To learn more or to sign up for their free newsletter, visit www.victorzammit.com. That's www.victorzammit.com.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
if you are just tuning in, our guests tonight are Tom and Lisa Butler. Our sponsor is Starseed Gems, and they can be found at www.starseedgems.com. If you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. We have two short announcements, or semi-short announcements. Our 7th annual Afterlife Conference will be held this year in beautiful and warm San Diego, California, at the DoubleTree by Hilton Golf Resort.
Will Tom and Lisa Butler be there?
Yes, they will. So listen up, all of our listeners tonight, and you'll get a taste of what's to be at our 7th annual Afterlife Conference, November 9th and 10th. Mark those dates. This will be the best one ever. Make your plans now for the Friday night banquet featuring Kim Russo, star of the hit TV series The Haunting of. She'll be the keynote presenter, bringing through communication from the other side. Then the conference begins early Saturday morning through Sunday evening, including featured presentations by Tom and Lisa Butler of the Association Transcommunication, Dr. Jeffrey Tarrant, demonstrating brain changes in mediums during communication, research medium Janet Mayer, Dr. Stephen E. Browdy, Dr. Evan Alexander, and Lloyd Auerbach, with spirit communication demonstrations from certified mediums Laura Lynn Jackson and Angelina Diana. As a special add-on this year, we bring you Medium Monday. So check the website for registration information now, and get your seats reserved because it is filling up. Our holidays past raffle is in full swing. And you might want to get in while the number assignments are still low, since the computer program pulls the winners by assigned numbers. The mediums in this raffle are Dave Campbell, Eliza Ray, Nancy Marlowe, Tracy Lee Nash, and Catherine Nadal. It's $5 a chance. Back to you, Bob.
And before we went on break, we had a little problem with the line with somebody calling in. So, August, if you're there, we'd like to welcome you back.
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Hello, August. How are you? Remember Tom and Lisa Butler.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Lisa. Yeah. This is August Goforth. I'll probably be seeing you. I don't know if I'm going to go to Reno, but I will be at Lilydale.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
So, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine.
Okay. So here, I sort of have a question. So I've had some experience with EVP, and something I've noticed a lot but don't hear much about regarding them is what I would call something that's emotional recognition, which is when you're listening to a particular EVP, and other people may listen to it as well, and they just hear what they would call noise on the line. But you would hear someone very specifically in spirit that's an intimate of yours, and there's no doubt about their identity, but no one else can hear it, only you can. Because it seems like all the subtle nuances and the undertones and the rhythms in their speech, which would go unnoticed by other people, would never escape your ear. So it's like, in essence, you can hear their smile, but nobody else can. Do you think you could comment on your experience and understanding of this aspect of a loved one's EVP message?
If I was answering your email, I would say that what you're hearing is the truth. But it is more like mediumship, or hearing something etherically, than what we would call true EVP. Because EVP, like physical mediumship, and I know you have been to see a physical medium, it's something that you can hear and someone else can hear. But I have heard of this before, and I don't believe that people that say they hear their loved ones are crazy, because I do believe we also all are mediums, not physical mediums necessarily, but we have abilities like John Edward or whatever. We're not maybe John Edwards, but there is that little bit of ability there where our loved ones can communicate with us. So I believe that they can put something into a recording that you would be able to hear, but another person might not.
Right. So a recording is not necessarily just sort of the flat two-dimensional thing that we might experience, but somehow they can make it more multidimensional.
Well, there's two ways you need to look at it. One of them is that in terms of objective phenomena, if somebody else can't hear it, then we really have no choice but to say that it isn't physically there. But like Lisa says, we don't know really where the physical ends and the mind takes up, that we're finding more and more how much the person, what I call the personality, the who you really are, plays in the way we experience these phenomena. So for us to say, as a matter of fact, I just came up with a draft for a new classification system for phenomena so that there is a way for me to be able to answer just exactly that kind of question, is that it's not what I'll call a type one, which is objective, everybody can experience it. We're calling it a type two, and it's more personal. It's up to you. If you sense that this is there, we're not going to tell you it isn't. All we can say is that, it isn't objective. It might be, as you say, emotional or...
Dimensional.
Dimensional. There's so many more possibilities there, but you need to be open for it, and we need to be open for it.
Right. I also have noticed that sometimes people are listening to hear some kind of a response on their recording, and they don't necessarily hear anything. But if they keep listening to it over and over and over again, somehow you kind of get synchronized with it, or something just kicks in. I'm not sure what that is, but then suddenly it becomes clear as a bell.
Well, okay, that's interesting. One of the things that I would warn against, actually, with EVP, one of the things that we find, not, thank goodness, not too often, but people can get obsessed with this. When you do a recording, you need to do a short recording because there's a lot of tension and strain in hearing these voices. So you have to listen very carefully. And if you, like, you know, we've had people do this like for an hour or 2 hours every night to the point, you know, they burn themselves out. So with everything, just like eating, unfortunately, there's balance. You know, there needs to be balance. And so...
Right, so people can't overdo it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think on anything you can overdo it. And on this in particular, because you are trying to hear something that is not easy to hear. So, you know, perhaps listening over and over again is exactly right, and that works as long as you don't overdo it.
I think a good yardstick to use is that if you think you hear something on an EVP, if it was telling you to go out and spend a lot of money to buy a new car or something, would you do it? Is it objective enough, or are you confident enough in it to do it? And what we're trying to do is advise people so that they could distinguish between something that is emotionally important but not something that one would objectively act on.
Well, right. August, thanks so much for calling in, and I might as well tell our listeners that August Goldforth was the author of a book called The Risen, with Dialogues of Love, Grief, and Survival Beyond Death. So you could just Google The Risen or August Goldforth, and you'll find out more about that.
Blog.
And I think August also has a blog. And I can understand why you would hear things from different sources as you tap into different realms, because you are gifted intuitively. So sometimes the lines are blurred in the methodology, but the message gets through one way or another. So thanks so much for calling in, August.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Take care. You know, we left off. I was going to ask you about, you know, studying these things from perspective of survived personality. And I suspect that we may not have enough time for that because it's going to take a while. So, but I did want to touch on, because you mentioned it, physical mediumship. And actually, I'm glad that you actually invited Fran and I out to one of to be in a séance with a physical medium, Kai Mugi, who's coming to the United States. So we are going because this is something that we've heard so much about from people like yourself, you know, Victor Zammit and many other people. But you have had quite a number of experiences, and physical mediumship is another thing that people are not familiar with by large, because they're only familiar with today's mental mediums, and it's quite different. So can you just get into a brief synopsis of physical mediumship so people can understand what we're talking about?
Well, physical mediumship is a lot like electronic voice phenomena in that you are in a situation with a group of people in a circle where you all experience communication with the other side. So again, it's physical medium instead of what everybody is more used to dealing with is mental mediumship, like our good TV mediums, where you just kind of have to trust what they're saying is what they're hearing your loved one say, and they give you evidential information, and so you know that's true. In physical mediumship, unfortunately, there are very few mediums in the world that are able to do this, but they can produce phenomena, or the spirits in the séance produce phenomena like lights, touches, in some cases, materializations, and a materialization is the actual formation or partial formation of a loved one who then is able to speak to you. There are just a lot of different things that can happen in a séance, and so I would suggest that maybe people Google physical mediumship online and look for some books. Maybe.
Yeah, we have a little. We have some pretty good accounts of the mediums that we were fortunate enough to sit with. If a person were to look at the atransc.org and the tab at the top of it, there'll be a physical phenomena tab, and down the third item down is physical mediums. There's articles associated with that there. And while we're at that website, I'd also like to recommend to people, if they go over to the theory tab, there's a section on what I call Toward a Unifying Cosmology. And in that, we've just rewritten the survival hypothesis according to the A-Trans-C. We think that, well, a little complicated. That's an interesting read for anybody who likes the metaphysics of these phenomena.
Yeah, and I thank you both so much for being with us tonight. Again, that website is atransc.org. It's just it's atransc.org. Also, you could look at the book. There is no death. There are no dead. That's a very definitive statement, and for good reason. They're not talking about suggestive evidence. They're talking about what really happens. The website is very, very comprehensive. You could learn all about EVP. For those of you who will be joining us in the San Diego conference, Tom and Lisa, as we mentioned, will be putting on a presentation. I would imagine you'd also be playing some EVP examples, and if you've never heard these Class A type examples, they're quite moving and informative and interesting. So hope you could join us there. So thanks again, Tom and Lisa. We look forward to seeing you soon, and be well.
Thank you. We'll see you in November.
Okay. Take care.
Actually, we're going to see you here in August.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
We'll see you twice. See you in 2 weeks.
Right.
Twice is
right.
Good.
Take care.
Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Francis Mastracco, Tim Donahue, Deb Morton, Tina Jocelyn, Barbara Russell, Vicki Steffi, Wendy Lippa, Mark Farron, Eileen Lafada, Rita Springer, David Hayes, Barbara Petillo, Gwen Irwin, Julie B., Stanley Mullen, John Borland, Flora Prisco, Marianne Pierschka, Tanya Cash, Andy O'Brien, Jeanette Davies, Janice Borelli, Joel Auerbach, Lenny Ficarelli, Rachel S., Lynn Cheney, Kimberly Saavedra, Johnny Jackson, and Henry Stark. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.